inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Most people work their whole lives putting money aside into their 401k, and they hope that by the time they're in their mid to late 60s, that they have enough money saved up that they can retire and not work anymore. My guest on the show today didn't want to follow that plan. She started buying rental properties, and by the time she was in her mid-30s, she had enough rental income that she didn't need to work anymore. And today she does whatever she wants to do. She spends time with her kids, she goes on vacations, and she also manages her rental properties. On the show today, we're going to figure out exactly how she did it and how you can do it too. Joining us on the podcast today from Wisconsin is Ann Belter. We'll take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Ann. When I'm doing research to buy a new rental property, there's a lot of different websites, apps, and then a spreadsheet that I use to do my analysis. It's really kind of a convoluted process. Well, there's a much easier way. There's an app called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. Ask Rick makes it really easy to find and analyze rental properties. You can see all the properties for sale in an area. If something looks good, you can press one button. It'll analyze the property for you. It'll figure out the rent amount. It'll figure out your mortgage payment, all your expenses, and give you your cash flow. If you're ready to move forward, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send the information over to your realtor to do some more investigation into the property. You can try it out for free right now. Just search for Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, Ask Rick in the App Store. Or go to justaskrick.com. That's justaskrick.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. And why don't we start off with you telling me what rentals have done for you and your family?
Sure, Dan. Rentals have given my family and I the financial freedom so that my husband and I are no longer working full-time for someone else. What does that mean on a day-to-day basis? Well, we are both able to get up in the morning, walk our kids to the bus stop, and while they're at school, get our work done. And in the evenings, we can spend time as a family. My husband now is also able to coach their soccer team, which the kids love being able to do and spend more time with us as a family. And by not having limitations on our vacation or personal time from a full-time job, we've been able to expand how often we travel, either for conferences, for real estate that we're interested in, or as a family. So we've been able to take our kids to new places within the U.S. by doing road trips that are, a week and a half, 2 weeks long, as well as out of the country and go on 14-day transatlantic cruises with them.
I love it. That sounds really awesome. And you guys are self-managing your rentals today? You don't have property managers?
Yes, we actively self-manage our own properties. Minor maintenance, showings, that sort of stuff. We take care of all of that. And still, have the time for family and travel and all that other fun stuff
awesome.
That everyone wants to do.
So this was actually the second time that you left your job. So take me back. What happened? You got enough rentals to quit your job, and then it wasn't all that you thought it would be, not working. What happened?
I was predominantly sitting at home or planning play dates, and I was going stir crazy. Mm-hmm. My husband politely said, "You got to figure out what to do with your time. You're driving me crazy." And I was like, I'm thinking I might go back to work.
Having that extra money then from your job, did that make it easier then to grow your portfolio from there?
the additional income that I was bringing in through that job, I was able to reinvest and continue to grow our portfolio quicker, which allowed us to have the additional monthly income for me to retire. And then a little, maybe about a year later, my husband retired. And we would have gotten there, you know, if I didn't go back to work, but we were able to get there a lot quicker because we had, you know, the additional income to continue to put into real estate on top of the profits and everything else we were making from the business.
Awesome. So let's figure out how you did this. So back in 2007, you and your future husband both did house hacks. Tell me about that.
My boyfriend at the time and I had read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad and kind of got hooked on the idea of, wouldn't that be awesome if in 10 years we didn't need to work full time and we could just vacation and do what we wanted? So we are both engineers by trade, went to school for that, and decided, you know, we're really good at numbers and let's look into this and see if we can make it work. Found these two four families. They were right next door to each other. And because we weren't married, we were able to purchase each building as first-time home buyer owner occupied.
Okay. So you had a smaller, or you needed a smaller down payment to buy the properties?
Yeah. Yeah. So in 2007, we needed 3% down.
Okay. So what was the plan? Like, did you want to buy like a property a year?
Yeah. So at the beginning, we were looking for 1 to 2 properties a year, specifically 4 units or larger. We weren't, at the time, we weren't interested in single families or duplexes. And we wanted the properties within driving distance, 30 to 45 minutes from our house, so that we could actively manage them while we were still working full time. You know, we didn't have to drive 2 hours or those sort of things. And they needed to cash flow. So mm-hmm. our biggest thing, you know, when looking back at it, and, you know, we're glad we did that, is you can buy properties for appreciation. You can buy them so that you can live in them, raise rents, you know, the whole BRRRR strategy, or you can fix and flip them. But we were looking for a long-term buy and hold that cash flowed from the beginning with the opportunity to increase cash flow through, you know, various means.
Okay.
And we invested in areas that were local to us that we also knew were good markets. So we assumed there would be some appreciation, but we weren't relying on it. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have to remember, we started investing in 2007. We did go through a crash in there as well. But that didn't concern us because those first properties we got, although, yes, they did go down in value, we were still making all of our payments. We were still making money because we bought it for the cash flow, not the appreciation.
Did your rents go down much during the recession?
No, I wouldn't say they went down. I'd say they stagnated. We weren't doing any rent increases during that time. And, we did have some tenants who, because of what happened with the economy, lost their jobs. We did see that some of our good tenants that were in place ended up having to break their leases, or we had to, you know, politely work with them or ask them to leave because they couldn't pay rent. And if we could come to an agreement and not do evictions or different things, it was better for both parties.
All right. So how long did it take from the time that you did the house hacks until you bought your next property?
Yeah, we happened to find a really good deal on a lake home. And instead of going on a honeymoon, decided we were going to buy that before we got married. That was going to be our honeymoon. But then the next rental property after that was about a year later. And we liked buying, you know, the 4 and 8 units, but we liked when they were next to each other. We really liked that the first time. So we actually ended up buying 2 more 4 families right next to each other that were like condo style with garages and private entrances and really nice units. Another year and a half later, we bought 3 buildings
Like the same type of fourplex type building.
Yep. Three, four families next to each other. And then a year later, we purchased 2 8 families right next to each other. And then from there, it kind of escalated.
Okay.
So we took a little time off to save our funds back up. And then between like 2014 and 16 got more. And then in 2018 and 19, we got quite a few more. But okay. We were purchasing, even though, you know, the market was down for a few years in there, then it continued to, once it started turning around, it continued to grow. And at the time it was, we invested based on how much money we had. So it wasn't that we couldn't find the deals. It was that, you know, we had to limit how many deals we could purchase because we were using our personal finances.
So were you putting 20% down on every property you'd buy?
Well, so we did various deals where it was anywhere from, you know, the first deal was 3% down. I think we did another deal at 5% down. The bank had the properties on their books, so they wanted it off their books. And we did a low money down, but we financed it with them. So then they got, you know, the added benefit of holding the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
We also did a couple deals where the properties needed significant work. There were, you know, holes in every single wall of the unit, or, you know, just bad management before we took over. I got the bank to agree to do after repair value loan. They lent on the 80% of the after repair value. And so I had a purchase price of, you know, it was probably like $700,000, but we need to put like $150,000 into it. Because
mm-hmm.
I had to redo these units and one needed a roof and different things. And so then that $150,000 I need to put into it, they did a draw schedule with me as I completed work. And then after a year, I had to prove that everything was fixed, everything was rented, and I was getting the market rent I was expecting, and was able to get those properties that way. And because of that, I didn't need to come with as much cash up front as normally I would need to.
Okay, okay. So how many rentals do you guys have today?
So we just closed on one about a month ago. So now we have 20 buildings, all 4 or 8 units, a total of 112 doors.
Okay. You know, it's crazy. Like, if you break it down a little bit, 112 doors sounds like a lot, but you bought 20 buildings, but you guys have been at this for like 13 years. So I guess like when you think of it as, wow, like it's really crazy where you guys are today, but I feel like you got there just by taking little steps and buying one property and getting it up and running, and then you just kept doing it. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah. So you know, we did buy them in sets or, you know, whatever, but I think the biggest thing for us is we didn't let fear or people telling us that, you know, this wasn't a good idea. How are you doing this while you're working full time?
Right.
You know, stop us from taking action. So we read a book. We got motivated. We read as much as we could on books that we purchased or, you know, could find online. And we made a calculated risk. Being engineers, we said, you know, what's the worst that could happen? And go for it. And we slowly built our portfolio from there. The last 2 years was the biggest growth we've had. But we're in a different situation than when we were first starting out. When we were first starting out, we were right out of college. We didn't have a lot of money. We needed to build that money, build the equity, and let it grow, and went from there. And I think that's the biggest thing. People are like, well, where do I get started? How do I get started? And the point is, you need to get started and make sure when you do get started, the first deal makes sense. Don't just jump in and buy something because everyone's like, you know, don't sit on the sidelines. You got to go buy something that makes sense. And if you don't find another property the next year, then wait.
Right.
You don't want to buy something just because you have a goal to buy a building. You want to buy something that meets your requirements and helps get you to that end 10-year, 15, 20-year goal, right. whatever that right. is.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's another big part of your success is that you were thinking long term, that you guys had a 10-year plan when you were starting out. Like most people can't think 10 years down the road. I mean, I have no idea what life would look like in 10 years. How did you, like at such a young age, like how were you able to think so long term?
So we're naturally very driven people. But I think the biggest benefit is we both push each other. So whenever you're looking at starting a business, if you're in a serious relationship and or married, if your partner isn't on board and they aren't in agreement with late nights, cleaning toilets, or, you know, painting an apartment, or dealing with the, you know, random inconvenient phone call that a pipe burst or, you know, something happened. Now, does it happen that often? No. But it is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if you want to actively manage it versus hire a management company to deal with it, your partner needs to be on board. And even if you have a management company dealing with it, there is still some financial obligation, mm-hmm. some time to find the deals and those things. So if your partner isn't on board and supporting you through it, it makes it either a lot harder or nearly impossible. Right. And the benefit we had was we were both on board. We were both dedicated to work as hard as we could and make it a success. Mm-hmm. And was that easy? Absolutely not. did we have our moments? Yes. But right. we look back, and as those moments came up or we had hard times, we just kept remembering why we were doing it. We were doing it for the family we didn't have yet, the family we wanted, and the travel and the flexibility and the freedom we wanted in the future. Right. And it all over the years fell into place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still look back and it's like, wow, I can't believe that actually, you know, happened. And,
yeah. It's so awesome. Yeah. Now, do you think that the house hacks at the beginning was a critical point, a critical part of your success that, like you were just starting out in your career. I assume you guys weren't making a ton of money back then, but you were able to eliminate your housing expense by doing a house hack. So was that like a big part of being able to save money to get started and buy the next property?
We did purchase it where we were able to live for free. And that didn't actually like, that wasn't the reason we bought the places, but the reason we live for free is because then we could get the low percent down so we could buy those buildings.
Right.
So there's many advantages. If you can put 3% down and buy a building and live for free, I mean, I don't know who would consider that a lose. That's a win all the way around.
Yeah.
And then while you're living for free, you know, you can save that money to put towards something else. Or if you don't, you know, there's other options that, you know, I'm aware of now that, you know, I didn't really know back then. You know, you can get private money if you don't have money to invest. You can, you know, syndicate a deal if you want to do something bigger. It depends on, you know, where you're at, how much time or money you have, and what your ultimate goal is, how you want to get there. And the things that I've learned about real estate is there's so many different ways to invest in real estate and so many options that if people are really motivated and dedicated to learning the industry and working for it, you can definitely have everything you want.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's so many ways to do it. Now, tell me about your criteria today. Like, as far as when you're looking to buy a property, are there certain types of neighborhoods you like to buy in, or certain types of properties you like as far as age or the condition that they're in?
So for me, I'm still holding true to what our initial targets were. We're looking for stuff in Waukesha County. I'm looking for stuff that's, you know, driving distance from where I reside. I'm looking for something that is 4 units or larger, 32 units, 8 units, you know, whatever it is. I want initially with the current income expenses, you know, expected debt service to see a profit of $100 per door per month with an upside of at least $100 per door per month that I can get there within the first year. And that upside can either be, you know, doing rubs for utilities. I'm buying the property and all the rents are below market. I know that if I go and as tenants move out, I can update the units and raise the rent, you know, $400, $500, $600 a month because of, you know, the style of the unit. So I still have some of the same initial criteria. However, I'm a little more particular on the location now because we are actively managing and traveling more and doing those sort of things. I'm trying to find properties that are near properties we already have so that I don't need to find a whole new set of contractors to do the lawn and snow. And, you know, if I'm gone and something happens to, you know, HVAC or plumbing, I can still rely on the same contractors I have a good working relationship with.
Yep.
And then when I have to go do showings or something, it's all in like, you know, a few locations instead of scattered all over.
Anne is still actively looking to grow her portfolio today. If you have anything for sale or you know of anything coming up, Anne would love to connect with you. I've got her contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode270. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you are looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started and you want to buy your first property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and whatever your situation is, whatever your goals are, whatever you're trying to accomplish, Chaley can make it happen. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.